The following message is from New Life Gillette series, Love Math. This week, Pastor Mike presents part four of this series.
A few weeks ago, we did a segment on love where we talked to senior citizens about how it used to be. Well, in doing so, we met these two guys that I instantly took a liking to, two guys that I wanted to learn more about. So today, we're spending the afternoon with Harvey and Eddie.
Here we are!
Hello, gentlemen.
Benny!
How old are you guys?
This man's 85, I'm 87.
85, hold it. I'm going to be 84. Although there's snow on the roof,
there's fire in the belly.
You better believe it.
You like to take nice walks every now and again.
Oh, he's
I walk every day.
You try to keep young. Do you guys like go out and party?
Party?
Yeah. 7 o'clock at night, I'm in bed and I have my party.
Now, I want to talk pop culture with you guys because life is a little bit different than when you were kids.
For example, give me an example.
Are you guys on Facebook?
I prefer to talk to somebody face to face.
What has happened to letter writing?
That's disappearing.
It disappeared, but I still write letters to my grandchildren.
There.
That's very important.
I am doing fine.
We're missing a stage of life. Channel 4 is here. We're doing a program. That is
but
going
I will call you later. When are you leaving for Florida?
So you guys like old music. I'm going to play you some new music, and you tell me if you like it, okay?
Just yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay, no comment. Just do I like it or don't like it?
Do you like it or not?
Go for that. You can dance to that. Good moves.
I don't like the tom-toms in the background.
Oh, no, that's nice. Huh?
The voice is not too bad, but
it's not
music that I would spend any time with.
It moves you.
Let's do word association with, like, current pop culture. I'll throw a couple words at you. You tell me what the first thing that pops into your mind is.
Okay.
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games? Food?
What do you think the letters OMG stand for?
Oh, miles per gallon.
Lindsay Lohan wants your advice. What do you tell her?
Come live with me.
If you guys were in a band, what would the band name be?
Ups and Downs.
Mostly ups, I hope.
How about this? You guys play me a song that you want to hear.
Okay. These vagabond shoes are yearning to stray. New York.
I love those guys. Yeah. Well, we are in a series right now called Love Math. And we're talking about relationships of all kinds. And today we're talking about friendship. So here's my question for you. Do you have a best friend? You should. Do you have a best friend? It's a valuable part of life, somebody that you can do life on a regular basis with. I think those guys are hilarious. And the idea of a lifelong friendship, a friendship that lasts beyond just the current place I'm in, that even when you can move apart from each other, you still stay friends, is a valuable and important thing. My favorite part of that whole clip is when he says, I don't like Facebook. I value face-to-face communication. Hello? Yes? So, we started off this series talking about this. Does anybody know what this is? The Trinity. We call this the God equation in this series. This is the idea that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three combined equal one God. What this means to us is you can extrapolate the idea that God is one, but God is not alone. God in and of himself is a relationship. And we were created, each and every one of us were created in God's image, which means if we want to act in accordance to our nature, we must also live our lives in fellowship, in relationship. And here's the thing about the creation of the world. You understand the cadence. You've heard the creation story. It kind of goes, God created this thing, and it was good. He said he created the water, and he said it was good. God created the stars and said it was good. He created all these things, plants and animals, and said it was good. And then God created man, and the cadence changes. Then God created man and said, It is not good. Now, there's a reason why he added, it changed the cadence of this passage. It was to show us something, that man created by himself is not good. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So why wasn't it good for man to be alone? And later, God would come to earth, and he didn't just come to earth, but he came to earth to build a relationship with the people of earth. And he came in the man, Jesus Christ, so that he could build a new kind of relationship with human beings. We are supposed to be in relationship if we are going to be like Christ. As we become who we were created to be, we become more and more in relationship with each other. In equation form, we can say this, that a person by himself or herself, 1 + 0, is not a whole person, does not equal 1. Now, this isn't saying that being single is wrong. When God said that it's not good for man to be alone, he was not just talking about sex. It's a much, much bigger conversation than this. You can be single and still live life in fellowship. But single people actually have to go out of their way more often to make sure this doesn't happen. Because loneliness in our world right now is an epidemic, and it is a painful epidemic. Loneliness is incredibly harmful. This is one of the primary reasons why the church was created, to solve this problem. Dallas Willard said it this way, God's aim in human history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons, with himself included as its primary sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. So after Jesus resurrected from the dead, he went to heaven. And we assume heaven is up because he ascended upward. And he said, when I leave, another is going to come after me who is greater than I am. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, we called that moment Pentecost. And when Pentecost happened, the church was invigorated. The church was born with new life. And it began to spread across the world with the primary reason of fellowship, purpose of fellowship. Fellowship with each other and fellowship with God. This was our command, to love God and to love each other. This is our purpose, to love God and to love each other. This is what Christianity is all about. So the church is God's plan to eliminate the lack of fellowship. So the church is God's plan to eliminate loneliness. With all the dating apps in the world, you would assume we wouldn't have loneliness. With all of the different things that we've done to try to create community, like Facebook, and we've gone to a lot of lengths to try to create fellowship. So why is it that the fellowship is at an all-time low, according to research? It's because it's not the job of dating apps to cause fellowship. That's the job of the church. So how are we doing at it? Well, we've done better in the past. Read the book of Acts. Did you know that recently the United Kingdom appointed a minister of loneliness to the cabinet? One of the highest ranking individuals in the government is a minister of loneliness to try to address this epidemic. In Japan, they have actually, this has become such a big deal that they've actually adopted a new word. The word is kadoshkusi. I'm not saying that right, but I did Google it to try to figure out how to say it. And this word refers to the epidemic of loneliness, and it gained widespread popularity when a few years ago, there was a 70-year-old man who died in his apartment by himself and nobody knew. And months after months after months went by and nobody noticed. 3 years later, the man was discovered dead in his apartment. That's loneliness. Do you know how they figured out that he was dead? because his rent for his apartment was being withdrawn from his bank account. And when his bank account ran out of money, they went to take the apartment. He had been dead for 3 years. This is the loneliness of our world. In a country where you would assume we've got all the means necessary to make sure that we have this problem figured out. A former U.S. Surgeon General wrote in the Harvard Business Review a statement about loneliness. And in his time, in his position, he recognized that this is actually one of the things that are plaguing our country the most. He says, loneliness has more than doubled since the 1980s. Well over 40% of Americans report suffering from loneliness at significant levels. And experts expect the actual total is considerably higher because people are just reluctant to say, I feel lonely. It's worse for your health. This is what the U.S. Surgeon General says. Loneliness is worse for your health than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It's worse than for your physical health than smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and it crushes the soul. Loneliness is dangerous. It can even be fatal. Researchers at BYU found that loneliness can be as threatening to physical health as not just cigarettes, but also excess alcohol. It's more dangerous than obesity. They also linked loneliness to some other conditions. They linked it to brain deterioration. Lonelier people experience this more often. They linked it to heart problems, hormonal issues, immune system problems, and those are just the physical effects. There's a whole other list of emotional and psychological problems caused by loneliness. That's because you were created in the image of God, which means your body was created to not be lonely. If we are going to become who we were created to be, we are to become not lonely. We were created in God's image for relationships. This is what the God equation, the Trinity, is all about. This is also why New Life's logo is a triangle. It also kind of plays on the compass idea, the north compass that you see on a map. But the triangle represents the Trinity. And for centuries, people have said that the triangle is the strongest shape, because any added force on any of the sides, the force is spread to all three sides. It had some competition for a while from the circle, but it failed. Actually, the Mythbusters did a recent episode on this to figure out, is the triangle actually the most powerful shape? They decided, yes, it is. Boom, take that circle. Just kidding. Three is an incredibly strong number. So we also know that there are three primary colors.
Oh, there are three primary colors. Only three are primary, it's true. The world is full of every kind of color.
My son loves that song. There are three primary colors. There are also three persons in God. There are three sides of a triangle. Marriage is two people becoming one, forming a third person. The entire universe was created. God painted the entire universe with three primary colors. Atoms themselves, the building blocks of our entire world, are created with three parts. Protons, neutrons, and electrons. I'm no scientist, but I remember that from high school. Does anybody know what they nicknamed the atomic bomb? They nicknamed the atomic bomb the Trinity. Why did they call the atomic bomb the Trinity? Because separating three creates destruction, they said. There's power in the number three. We don't know why, but I think it's something even spiritual. And you can look in Scripture, and there's just kind of this common theme all through Scripture of three. The world was populated by Noah's three sons. Jonah was in the belly of the well for 3 days. The old covenant was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is how we describe God to the world for much of our history. When the angels worship God, what do they say? Holy, holy, holy. Three times. Holy, holy, holy. Jesus was tempted by Satan three times in the wilderness. Jesus' ministry on earth lasted for 3 years. Peter denied Jesus three times before his death. And then after his death, Jesus comes to Peter and he asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. It's a recurring theme, and on and on and on throughout Scripture we see this. So today, I want to talk about another three number that we see in the Scripture. And we're going to spend some time talking about Jesus' best friends. You know Jesus had best friends? Yes, in fact, Jesus had three best friends. Jesus' best friends were named Peter, James, and John. This was Jesus' inner circle. And Jesus spent his most intimate moments with these three people, Peter, James, and John. We see them at the Mount of Transfiguration. When we read that story, it says, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. We don't talk much about this passage because we don't really get it. We don't really understand what was happening here. But it is obviously Jesus' most transparent, most vulnerable moment up to this time in his life. And who did he share this moment with? The passage tells us that he was with Peter, James, and John. They were his besties, in today's vernacular. So they saw him in his glory, in his greatness, in his best of times, and they also saw him in his worst of times. They also saw him when he was fighting, when he was struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was killed. We read that story in Mark. It says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray, he told his disciples. And then he took Peter, James, and John, the three, with him. And he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So this now becomes the most vulnerable time in Jesus' life up to this point. And he's with Peter, James, and John. So why is it that Jesus surrounded himself with these three? Dan Diebel, when he talked about this, said that there's a leadership principle, a leadership strategy there. He knew that he was going to be moving on, so he needed to pour into his successors, that he needed to invest in somebody because these people would eventually become the ones who would take the Christian message, the gospel message, and lead the church. And so in this leadership strategy, he was passing on to some followers who would eventually take his leadership role. So who are your best friends? Who's in your inner circle? Are you intentional about bringing the right people into that inner circle? People who can hand off what you've taught them. People who can teach you, who you can learn from. People who have different preferences and different skill sets that you can learn from. Because we were all created for relationships. We were all created to be like Christ in this way. Because relationships are spiritual connections. This is why your cat, I'm sorry, cannot be in this circle. When you're deciding who am I going to put in the three, your cat doesn't go. Why? Because your cat doesn't have a spirit. And relationships are spiritual things. And this is controversial, but I also don't think when you're deciding who you consider in this circle, I also don't think you should consider Jesus, God. And that's a little controversial, but it's largely because when God talked about the church, you know what he called the church? His body. In other words, if you want to have a relationship with Christ, you can't do so without having a relationship with the church. Because relationships are spiritual, but they are also physical. They are both. In a relationship, one of the primary objectives of a relationship is that you meet each other's needs, is that you help each other. The only way you can meet God's needs is by helping the least of these. The only way that you can meet the needs of God, whatever you've done for the least of these, whatever you've done for the poor, for the widow, for the weak, then you've done it for God. So if you want to have a physical relationship with God, you can by having a relationship with his church, by having a relationship with people. Now, I think your spouse could be considered in this circle of three, in this inner circle. Your spouse, I hope, if you are married, that your spouse is in this consideration. But be intentional about who you are bringing into this circle. For the disciples, it could be Jesus, because Jesus was there in physical form. But it goes beyond this. Jesus didn't only have a relationship with the three disciples. There was the larger crowd. There was also the 12. So this is not the inner circle, but it's an inner circle. And Jesus spent a tremendous amount of time with these 12 guys. He poured himself into them, not quite as much as the three, but he spent a lot of time teaching these people. Then we see that there was a larger group, that there was a group of 72. We read about them in Luke chapter 10. When Jesus trains up the 12 and sends them out, and then he trains up 72 and he sends them out. And then there were even larger crowds that would follow Jesus. And we don't really know the number of these crowds, but we kind of get a couple glimpses of scripture of times when Jesus was surrounded by so many followers and nobody could even get close to him. Zacchaeus had to climb a tree to get close to Jesus. Because people wanted to be around Jesus. And you know, can you imagine how many people were coming to Jesus on a regular basis and saying, why doesn't he pay attention to me? Why doesn't he wasn't there for me when I needed me? But Jesus in his physical form, the reason why Jesus said that he's sending one after him who's better, the Holy Spirit, was because Jesus could be with a certain amount of people at the same time. He was physical in this form. So he couldn't be with everybody. So I'm sure that there were people in the 72 who were just like, why doesn't he pay attention to me? Why isn't he around? Because Jesus spent more time with the three than he did with the 500 plus in the larger crowd. So what do these circles look like in your life? Have you been intentional about how much time you're spending with certain people? Or are you allowing the people who just demand the most time for you from you to have your time? Because it's very easy to do relationship that way. Because there are some people who are just demanding. There are some people who just are always asking for your time. They're begging for it. And they're doing it to most of the people around them. And it's very tempting to just give in to the, sure, you can have my time. I'll be there for you. It's hard to say no. But that's not really the example Christ set. Jesus went out and found some guys. We don't know why he picked who he picked. It may have just been to prove that anybody can do this Christian thing. But he went out and he found a few guys and he said, you, I'm going to pour my life into you in a not everybody equally kind of way. Have you prioritized two or three relationships? Do you have a small group of 12 to 15 or something like that people that you do life with? We bring this whole idea to an obvious statement when we read that passage, that famous passage that even people who aren't Christians know in Ecclesiastes. It says, two are better off than one. Why? Because they can help each other succeed. So two is better than one. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Two are better than one, but three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Two is good, but three, what, this number three, but three is even better. So what two people have you brought into your inner circle, or one or three, have you brought in and said, I'm going to pour myself into this relationship? Because this verse reveals to us that another equation, 1 + 1 + 1, is greater than three. When we three are combined, we are not just three people, so we can do more because we're three instead of one. It's like an exponential thing that happens. We can accomplish more than the three of us can individually. And these people in Jesus' life were known very well by him. They did life together. They were there for each other when they needed each other. They were transparent with each other. They didn't hide things from each other. This is an awesome argument for how we should do marriage. No transparency, nothing to hide. We do life together. We are one person. So we talk about this inner circle, and then there is another very valuable circle. If you compare the way we do relationship to the way Jesus does relationship, you've got your three, and then you've got your 12. And in our scenario, that 12 we call a life group. And it doesn't have to be the number 12, but somewhere around there is your life group. People that you are intentional about spending time with. You're also transparent with these people. And it doesn't always come naturally. It's very hard to carry a relationship with 12 people. That takes a lot of work. But it is so rewarding. And you don't really want to do it up front. You're kind of dragging your feet. And I don't need that. Well, maybe you don't right now. But there will come a day when you do. And you will be happy you did. Watch this video.
I'm Levi Kissick. I'm a real estate agent here in town, and I've been going to New Life since I was a little baby, and then we moved away to college and came back and have been here ever since.
And I'm Taylor Kissick. I'm a preschool teacher at Children's Developmental in town. And yeah, like Levi said, we've been attending New Life since we've moved back to town.
I think it's important to be in a life group because it will fill a part of your life that you didn't even necessarily know you were missing. I think with Taylor and I, we lived in some really cool places, some really pretty places after college, but we never felt like it was home. And we always joked that, like, when we would come back for holidays and stuff, Taylor would always be like, I'm never living in Gillette. And now that we're here, it's been our favorite place that we've ever lived. And I think that has a huge part of it is because of our life group.
It does give you a sense of home. So like Levi said, we moved around a lot and no place ever felt like home. It was always really easy to move. I think since coming to Gillette and finding our life group, I've realized what was missing from our lives, and our community and our friends and our life group have made Gillette home and a place that I want to stay.
Sunday mornings are definitely a lot different now that we're in a life group. It can be super overwhelming. I've been going to New Life for forever, and it's still super overwhelming to walk into such a huge building and not see anybody that you know. And then for us, we have friends who are very active volunteers as well. and they've encouraged us to do that. So now it's kind of opened the door for volunteering, whether it be the coffee shop or whatever, which is something that I never did before.
We don't just walk in, find our seat, and walk back out. We walk in, and I go straight for the coffee, but then you see people that you know, and you're able to stop in the lobby and talk, and it's given me something to look forward to outside of just service, but then getting to just meet all my friends.
I think it's important to have Christian friends just because, like the saying goes, iron sharpens iron. I don't think you're going to find relationships in the real world where you can actively talk about your faith and meet with other people who are so like-minded as far as growing their relationship with Christ and with their spouse. So it's been really good for us in that regard.
Your faith and serving the Lord is at the root of who you are. And I think when you find that in other people, it just brings you closer in a way that maybe you wouldn't have realized or been. And I think it makes just the differences that you have and the life that you go through, but you can all still unite in the fact that you have those core values and you can just really rely on each other in that.
Another thing, it helps you figure out really soon or really quickly that not everybody has it all together. Like, you can kind of get intimidated by people because you think, oh, they're a way better Christian than I am or whatever. But you find out in a hurry that everybody's going through it, and it's just really nice to have like-minded friends who aren't going to judge you. Unless you chew with your mouth open, then Brooke will probably kill you. But other than that, there's no judgment.
Yeah! I love that video. Good job, guys. I don't know if they're here yet, here or not, but there they are. Good job, guys. That was awesome. They were talking about how last Sunday, there were over 1,200 people in here. And the idea of coming in and building relationships through church, if our primary objective is relationships in church, well, good luck doing that on Sunday mornings. This is why we say circles are better than rows. If our primary objective is building relationships, building a relationship with God and building a relationship with each other, this is the primary objective of the church, then you're not going to do that just coming on Sunday mornings. So if you got to pick, get in a life group. And if you're not in a life group that you like, get in a different life group. You can sign up on the app right now because my life group is meeting tonight for the first time. And I told Darcy last night, I'm so ready. I'm so pumped. This break has been too long. Because my life group, when I went into it, I will be honest with you, I dreaded it. I did not want to do the life group thing. I'm like, I got plenty of relationships, all my friends at work and everything. Because you don't know what you're missing until you realize you are missing it, right? If you don't have the relationship, you don't miss the relationship. And loneliness kind of sneaks up on you. So you got to get out in front of it. Be intentional about it. And you got to go out of your way to make sure it works. Please prioritize these relationships. Even if you don't do it through life groups, I think you should because I think it's the best way. But even if you don't, prioritize these relationships. If you're ready to sign up for a life group, then you can fill it out. You can fill out some form or sign up on the app. You can do it on our website. Ellie will be out in the lobby if that stuff's hard for you, but get in a life group. They start today, and it's going to change your spiritual life if you haven't done it before. Also, I'll tell you this. After the service, there's always people up here on the front right part of the auditorium who are ready and willing to pray with you about anything you want. And if you are struggling with loneliness, one of the best things that you can do is this: pray in a small group, in a small community. That could be a good step for you to go over and just tell somebody, I'm going to be honest, I feel lonely. You can go pray with somebody about that. Where two or three are gathered, He's there with you. So form a relationship with His body. God, today I thank You for how You have worked through each of us for the purposes of reaching each of us. That You are using us to love each other. That You are using us to fulfill the purpose that You put us on this earth to fulfill. Help us to become who we were created to be. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.